Even have to call the class to attention. Y'all got quiet quick. How's everyone doing today? Yeah, we're so excited to have you guys here. We have spent many hours praying over you guys and preparing. So we hope you're ready. We hope you came hungry spiritually to move forward. Just to give you a little rundown of what you can expect this semester, Grow 2 is a little different than Grow 1. Grow 1 is set up more of like a classroom feel. You got the teacher and the students. And Grow 2 is more interactive. We call it a facilitator approach. We want you guys to talk to us. We want you guys to interject when you have something to say or when you feel like the Lord has moved. So just feel, know that you have that freedom to speak when you want to and to say what you need to. There's also group work this semester. So we want you guys to, I didn't bring mine up here, so forgive me. But every week we want you guys to bring your Bible because we will actually be flipping through these every week. So not that there's anything wrong with your iPhone or whatever you have, but there's just something so special about actually flipping through a tangible Bible, highlighting in it, marking in it, writing things down that someone says that might speak to you. So amen? All right, with that being said, I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Talia, and she's going to get us started.
So before I get into everything, I want to make sure I introduce to you guys in Grow 2 your coaches. Of course, you just heard Megan. She didn't introduce herself, and she never will. But I will. I will point you out. So Megan and Jeremiah Camel right back here, they are your coaches for Grow Track 2. They are phenomenal. Most of you guys know who they are. They're the one with all the kids. That's pretty much the... They're the ones that's pretty much how we describe them. But they have just a beautiful family. They've adopted many and have one on the way. Total of how many? Five, yes. So, but you guys are in for a special treat with them. Just really excited to be here. I'm excited about tonight. I'm just so excited about tonight. And as I talk about it, if I get a little emotional, please forgive me. But a year ago tonight, it was just Courtney Mendoza and I. All by ourselves, not one other dream teamer, trying to hurry and build a dream team for Grow Track 1, first season of Grow Track 1. And we were scrambling and trying to find leaders and trying to build it. And there was such an urgency in Pastor Jeremy and I's heart. We knew that people needed more discipleship beyond Starting Point. We could feel that there was a hunger in our church. And we didn't, it was like having little babies that were crying for milk and we didn't have a way to feed them what they were hungry for. And it was a horrible feeling as a leadership team. And out of that awareness and out of that just conviction and almost concern is where the movement has been birthed from. And I believe it's because it's the heart of God. It's the heart of God for his people to know him and to find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. And Starting Point does such a phenomenal job at introducing all of those concepts, but our people need, God's people, I need more. And so it's so sobering tonight to have the whole entire Grow Track dream team was over in the chapel at 6:30, and the room had probably 40 to 50 dream teamers in there. We get started, everyone's clapping and cheering, and for a moment, I could hardly speak, which that's really weird. That's a miracle. It's a modern day miracle, isn't it, Grace? But God is so good. God is so good at taking the little that you have. And if you really give it to him with your whole heart, he's so good at multiplying the littlest of efforts. So can I just give glory to God tonight that right now we have over 400 people signed up in our groups alone, not counting the almost 100, I think, plus in Grow Track 1 tonight. Isn't that great? We've got, I think, 20 to 25 who have successfully finished Grow 2. It was a smaller group that other semester, but they're all there in Grow 3, ready to go. And look at you guys. You guys graduated from the chapel, the seclusion of the chapel, into the bright, open Angelina room. How are you feeling? You doing okay with the adjustment? I know that nice dust kind of feeling in there is good to hide in, and then you come out in here and it's all bright. But I'm just telling you guys, God is so faithful. So it doesn't matter how much you came in here with tonight. It doesn't matter if you feel like, man, I'm just not where I was hoping I would be. I'm not where I was when Grow Track 1 finished, and I'm feeling kind of yucky about that tonight. I almost didn't come. You know what? God's going to take the little you have that you brought tonight, and he's going to multiply that, because that's just the kind of God he is. And I love so much this process of the Grow Track. I'm super proud of you guys. You came for an entire semester of Grow 1. You should give yourselves a hand. That's a big accomplishment. That's a fantastic accomplishment. And then you're back here tonight. I want to go over just a few things. In case you don't know who I am, I'm Talia Vanderlees. I'm one of the executive pastors here at Timber Creek. I think I know a lot of you in here. I think I know most of you in here. But just want to make sure you know who I am. Pastor Alvin is my husband. The good-looking blue-eyed guy who goes out to the prison is my husband. It's funny, my children will say, my five-year-old, Mommy, where's Daddy tonight? I'm like, he's at the jail. He's in prison. And he's now they're used to it, but isn't God doing incredible things in the prison right now? Did you guys know we're about to launch another unit next week at the Duncan unit? And so God's just doing incredible things right now in the prison campus. Just so excited to be here. Can you tell I'm a little excited? I'm excited to be here. I'm excited because now after doing this for, this is the fifth semester, we have seen such tremendous transformation happen in the lives of the people who are going through Grow Track. And when I say transformation, I mean true Christ-like change. Did you hear me? Transformation. How many of you are like, I'm here because I'm ready to be truly transformed into the image of Christ? I studied the word transformation for our teachers in training right now. And the definition of the word transformation is, get this, you ready? Metamorphosis. I just lost 75% of the room. How many of you hated science? Anybody? Oh, so I have a room full. Well, Chris in the back. I was not good at science. I was all math and English. Okay, I was that nerd. But science, I didn't get it. But the word metamorphosis literally means to be changed into a new creature. To be changed in such a way that literally the character and the physical qualities of that creature or that person has changed. So when a caterpillar crawls in the cocoon and turns into the butterfly, it has been transformed. But really, the scientific word is, it has been, I guess, metamorphosized. But the neatest thing about transformation is the fact that that butterfly can never become a caterpillar again. It's not possible. You know, our heart for you guys is that we all begin to continue to go through that metamorphosis process and grow two, and that you guys are so transformed. And I'm telling you, you guys are going to be in the Word and studying and interpreting and applying like you didn't even know you could do in Grow 2. But I'm telling you, what happens as a result of the techniques in this class that are different than Grow 1, they're different than Grow 3, is this guarantee. If you do the work, you put in your part, I promise you, you're going to be transformed. God is going to metamorphosize you. He's going to throw you into that. He's going to do what only he can do as you're faithful to do what only you can do. So it doesn't matter tonight if you feel like you're tired, you don't even feel like you're worthy to be here. You're here because God is not done with you. He has such incredible things. I'm telling you, I just feel it so strong tonight that God is so excited. The Father's excited that his children have obviously hungered for more of him, or else you wouldn't be here. So I'm just so excited. So glad you're here. Welcome to Grow 2. I want to get into just a couple of the different techniques we're going to use in here. You've heard me say it. You heard Megan allude to it. What are these different techniques? Some of you are freaking out. How many extroverts do I have in the room? Please raise your hand. Extroverts, you usually raise them faster than that. Extroverts can't wait to be seen. So they're, oh, that's me. Uh-oh. How many introverts? Can we get our hands up, introverts? Can we do it a little bit? Oh, look at the introverts, can't even raise their hands. Looks like maybe 50-50, or it's more like 40 and 40 and 20% are confused. You don't know who you are yet, okay? But what's great about Grow 2 is this facilitator approach. So many of you guys so far have only been in Starting Point, or you've been in Grow 1 or Encounter. And those of you guys who have been in those vehicles of discipleship, it's very teacher talking heavy and you listening. Grow 2's not so much that way. Tonight will probably be one of the heavier teaching nights because we're getting you guys used to everything. But what I love about it is we're going to get you guys interacting. We want you guys to get involved in the teaching and the conversation. It's really incredible what the feeding frenzy that happens in Grow 2. Right now, you're thinking that'll never happen to me. Just watch and see. It's this hunger that begins to stir up in you for more knowledge of the Word of God and this curiosity and this boldness that just wants to know more of the truth of who He is. And you'll just begin to open up and begin to get questions answered. And by the truth that you become to truly know, you're going to see yourself becoming free in things that you never thought you'd get free in. It's really neat how that happens. Oh, I guess His Word says that will happen, doesn't it? That will come to what? Know the truth. Not just hear it. You know, you can hear about the truth and not know it. But you come to know the truth and the truth sets you free. Grow 2 helps you do that. All right, let's look at these different approaches real quick. So, something that you need to remember, what did we tell you guys on Grow Track 1? That we were building a house. That's what we told you. Do you remember that? Anyone remember way back? Have you slept since then? But we talked to you guys about the importance of making sure things happened in your discipleship or your spiritual growth in the right order. And the importance of making sure that your foundation was good and solid. What did we say? What happens when a foundation is not laid properly? It's what? Oh, I cannot hear you. What did you say? It's what? It's going to crumble. It's going to crack. Okay? And so Grow Track 1 really helps begin that process of laying your foundation. And some of you guys, God had to use a jackhammer on you and break up some untruths that you believed about church and God, and He had to re-pour. He had to re-pour some of your foundation. So what we're believing is that by right now, having had finished Grow 1, your foundation is set. Flaws in it are fixed. I didn't say you're perfect, okay? But we really are hoping that your theology, your understanding of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, your understanding of time with God and its importance, the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus, what that means, you are introduced to the big word, atonement, right, for the first time. So these concepts are all now in your foundation. Grow Track 2 is now going to build the framework on top of your foundation. And for some of you guys who already have framework, we're going to repair some rotten boards, okay? We're going to tear down some molded sheetrock, and we're going to get rid of some of that horrible, horrible 70s wallpaper in the bathroom, okay? We're going to go to work. We're going to go to work on you and help build on top of your foundation, and it's going to feel so good. Have you ever seen someone build a house? Pastor Jeremy just finished his house, and I'm telling you, we'd be getting ready for an important meeting. And he'd say, hey, guys, can you jump in my car real quick? Jump in my car. And we're like, oh, gosh, we've got to go see the house again. And so you cannot tell us that. So he'd get us in his car. And, like, you know, I'm such a planner and time watcher. I'm like, well, there goes 30 minutes out of our meeting. How are we going to make up for all these decisions we need to make? But he took us there for every single stage of that house. The man was excited when they just cleared some dirt. I mean, he was excited when they were bringing in the concrete. He was excited when they just brought the lumber. I mean, he brought us out there so many times because he was excited because he already saw the end result. You know what I pray for you tonight? Some of you, this process sounds intimidating, a little scary, and a little daunting. You know what I pray for you guys tonight? Is that you would begin to see what God sees in your finished product. When you see what God sees in your future of who He's called you to be, what He's called you to do, and who you're going to be in Him, like when you can really see the thing from His perspective, I think that there's a greater excitement that starts to get stirred up in your spirit of this process. And it helps you submit to it better because you know God is getting, when He's done, it's going to be great. Okay? No, He's going to do something great. And we're going to help build on it. Let's talk about this different approach. The teacher approach is different. We said it's facilitator-driven rather than lecture. But let me just say this, too. The level of learning is going to go higher. So we're not going to go backwards. I would encourage you, if we start teaching on something that you don't remember, that you go back to that manual or you ask your table host for more information, for some direction on that. The accountability is greater. There will be more opportunities for interaction as well and feedback in this class. You guys are going to work together a lot, but you're going to love it. You're going to work together a lot at your tables. You're going to get a lot of stuff done. You're going to have incredible sharpening. As iron sharpens iron, the Word of God says, so one friend, one person sharpens another. You're going to feel that happen in this room. There will be more work in class, but it's only to help stretch you and see you grow, okay? But it is more classroom. You are going to have stuff we do in class, and please don't leave the room and quit already, but there is going to be some homework. Ronnie. Is it what? No, it's no Bitcoin. That thing's crashing. I don't think there's any money in that anymore. Okay, but there's homework. Hey. So I would be stupid if I thought 100% of you just loved homework in college and high school, right? But can I just tell you this? I believe that the Holy Spirit, when you do the homework, he's going to really help the nail that gets hammered in here go all the way in. Does that make sense? Sometimes have you ever sat under teaching or preaching, you're like, I got most of that, but I really wish I could have a little bit more on this. That's what your homework is designed to do, is to help drill it deeper, okay? So failure to do it, still come to class the next week, but know you're missing out on that God encounter, that moment for the Lord to show up in your room, in your car, at your library, and help that nail go deeper, okay? But know this, you can also expect even greater growth. Even greater growth, but do you know that there's something necessary for growth? Anyone want to take a stab at what that could be? What's necessary for growth? Pruning, oh, yes, that's not fun, is it? What else? Experience, yes, very good. What other things are necessary for growth? To feed it. So I'm gonna piggyback on that. I came up with the word just hunger. Hunger. I love the scripture here, and you have it in your notes. Let's look at it. Matthew 5:6. Jesus is talking here, and he said, blessed. If you study the word blessed, you know what it means? It doesn't mean rich. It means fortunate, happy, to be envied. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Who is this person? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why are they blessed? Look at that last part. Why are they blessed? Why is Jesus saying you're so stinking blessed when you hunger for righteousness? Because why? Look at the end. What's gonna? Because you're going to be filled. Who is Jesus saying will be filled? Anyone who will hunger and thirst for what? What is righteousness? Living right, living like Jesus, being like him. So guess what? You're righteous because you showed up tonight. That doesn't mean you're perfect. But the righteous, he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous, the Bible says. So this hunger, listen, Jesus, of all things he could have said here, he said, blessed are those who hunger. My question tonight is, are you hungry? And I know we just finished a 21-day fast, but it's over. So hopefully you're not hungry anymore. We ended it yesterday. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst because they will be filled. There are some examples of in the scripture I wanted to go over of some men and women of God who hungered for him. They hungered for him. Moses in Exodus 33:14-16. I love this scripture, and I would love for you guys, if you have your iPhones or you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Exodus. I remember when I was a newer Christian, and I would be in the youth group, and the youth pastor would say, turn your Bibles to, I was always so horrified because I never knew where anything was. Anybody feeling me tonight? It's at the beginning, right after Genesis. Go to Exodus 33, and Moses is talking. Here we go. I want you to listen to how he talks about the Lord. And as I'm talking and reading the scripture, I want you to identify, what's he hungry for? Here we go, starting in verse 14. Exodus 33:14 says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest everything will be fine for you. Boy, wouldn't you love God to say that to you? That's a great thing. Then Moses said to God, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. In other words, if you're not going, neither are we. He said, how will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? Listen, here it is. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Hold on. What separates Moses and God's people, including you, from all other people in the earth? His presence. Isn't that powerful? You want to know what's different from Christianity than any other religion? The fact that our God is alive, that he's Emmanuel, he is God with us. Do you understand what is supposed to set you apart at work from everyone else? It is his what? His presence that should be with you. That changes literally the atmosphere in the room. What was Moses hungry for? His presence. Isn't that great? Look at the next one. David in Psalms, it's actually 27:4, not 14. It's Psalms 27:4. And David says this in Psalms 27:4. Flip over to Psalms 27. And it says this. Oh, I love this one. He says, there's one thing I ask of the Lord. One thing. He said, one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is what? To live, one translation says, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Guess what else he desired more than anything? Delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. What was David hungry for? His presence. Let's go to the last one. I'm going to go ahead and just go straight to Paul, and I'm going to give you a different scripture that's in your notes, so write this one down. Are you ready? Ooh, I love to see the highlighting going on in the Bibles and writing. I love it. All right, you're my kind of people. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. What is he hungry for? His presence. Who Jesus is. Paul said, he is my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die, that's just a gain too. Why? Why is that gain to him? Because I'm just going to go be with him in his immediate presence. My question for you guys tonight is, what are you hungry for the most? What do you most hunger for right now from God? And right now, you may not put in that blank his presence. Maybe you're very hungry right now for God's protection in a certain situation. Maybe you hunger for understanding. Maybe you hunger for provision. What do you hunger for tonight? I want you just to think about that for a moment. And as you come to that revelation, I want you to write it right there in that blank. God, I want to hunger for blank. What are you hungry for? What is Grace hungry for? What is Jay hungry for? Because guess what? If you're hungry, he's going to fill you. What you hunger, he will fill. Okay? You have that written down? Let's pray over that right now. Can we just do that? We're just going to stop right here in class. We're just going to pray over that. Lord, we thank you that you are here in this room tonight. We can sense you stirring us even right now. So we just don't want to take advantage of that or take it for granted. We want to say thank you, Lord, for your presence in this room. Lord, I thank you for the hunger that I already sense in the lives of your people tonight. And I just pray that God, that as they hunger, that you would fill. Just ask God to do that in your own heart. God, I pray, we ask that prayer of faith, that you would fill the hunger of the hearts in this room, that literally throughout this week and this semester, that they would see the evidence of you feeding them in this area. We know you're good. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, one of the ways that God stirs up hunger And also one of the ways God fills hunger is prayer. So you guys learned in Starting Point that it was important to connect to God and talking to him in prayer. Remember that? Know God. Then in Grow Track 1, what did you guys learn about in prayer in there? Does anyone remember? Uh-oh. I'm telling Tay-Tay. I'm kidding. What did you guys learn about prayer in there? Does anyone remember? What was it? Building the relationship with God in prayer. Anything else? What was it? Spending time with him. Yes, absolutely. Acknowledging him, spending that quality time. Does anyone remember the different things we said that you could do in your time with God? What? Pray, worship, and what else? Reading the Bible. That's right. So tonight, I get to take you, and Jeremiah is going to help me here in just a second. We're going to take you a little deeper into prayer tonight. Did you know there are different ways to pray? And I'm not talking about tongues tonight. I'm talking about there are different ways you can pray. Did you know that? There are different kinds of prayer, and they're also powerful. And I want you guys to know what they are tonight. And Jeremiah, Megan, and I want you to begin practicing using different forms of prayer in your conversations with God. How many of you have ever gotten to the place in your conversations with God where it started to feel a little boring? Okay, I'm the past, I'll be honest, okay? So what's neat about tonight is what we want to do, old Christian, new Christian alike, we want to remind you who have served Jesus for a long time, that there are other ways to pray. There are some neat different facets and excitement in prayer. And it's really important for you to understand this tonight, because without enjoying prayer time, guess what you won't do? Okay, something you need to know about. I'm super real, so I want you to try your best to be super real with me too. Is it not the most horrible feeling when you don't want to pray? Oh, my word. What would your life be like if prayer became exciting again or for the first time? You guys are staring at me like a calf stares at a new gate. What is the deal, huh? Absolutely. How many of you guys remember when you were new Christians and you prayed for things and everything happened so easily? It was like, Devontae, do you remember? I remember that with Devontae. I'm gonna call you out. Because I remember, like, he's praying and God's just doing, and it's just like, oh my goodness, and we think it's going to be like this all the time, and it's not. We have to learn how to connect to God in new ways and still holding on to those former, but there are other ways that we can talk to God, other ways we can pray. All right. I got to stick to my notes because I'm going to go over. I can't do that. I'll get in trouble. Okay. The purpose of prayer. Let's look at this real quick. I just want to emphasize that God wants your prayer time to be exciting. Hold on. God wants your prayer time to be fulfilling. How about that? Because I don't want any of you out there saying, Pastor Talia said my prayer time's got to be all like a party. No, that's not what I'm saying. But your prayer time needs to be fulfilling. What would your marriage look like if your quality time with each other was always a dud? Uh-oh. Okay, so if that's some of us in here, we need to go on a date night and, like, work on some things, okay? You're like, what, isn't that, like, everybody's marriage? No. Okay? But we want our prayer time to be so fulfilling and rich so that we look forward to it, so that we pray more, so that we start learning to pray God's will, and get this, then when we start praying God's will, things start happening. And then when things start happening, God's kingdom begins to expand. And you begin to accomplish more and more of your God-given potential. So if you're bored in your prayer time, listen up. We're going to get into this tonight. The purpose of prayer, you guys know this, but let me just break this down super simple. It is really just talking to, but connecting with God as well. Talking to him and connecting. Have you ever talked to someone and you didn't connect? It's like the elevator did not go to the top. Like, you guys could not connect. It was like Teflon woman. You cannot continue to grow in your hunger for God and your fruitfulness in the Spirit if your time with God is so absolutely, you're not connecting with him. You're talking at him, but you're not connecting with him. Listen to me tonight. I want to give you great hope for people who feel like your time with God is like cooking eggs on a Teflon pan and nothing sticks. There's no connection. God wants to change that in you this semester. Did you hear me? God is going to change that in you this semester. You're going to start connecting deeper with God. Then here's another thing. Prayer is the opportunity, listen, for you to hear what he has to say back to you. Yep, we're going to go there. You're going to learn how to hear from the Lord in this class. We're not going to just tell you to go have worship time and prayer time and read your Bible. We're going to start helping you learn to hear the voice of God. And the primary way God speaks to us is through his word. So if you're not understanding what you're reading, there's a problem. And we're going to help fix that too. But another purpose of prayer is for you to receive what you need from him. Lots of good scriptures right here. Lots of good things I could say on prayer. But I want to read this one right here in James 4:2-10. James 4:2-10. Listen to this. It says, you do not have because you do not ask it of God. You ask God for something and then you don't receive it. Anybody been there? Because you ask with what? Wrong motives. Someone just got set free in here tonight. You've been mad at God because he didn't answer your prayer. Now you just realize you're praying with wrong motives. What were you praying with? Maybe out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda. So that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your own desires. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you purpose. Look at James 5:16b. Oh, I love this one. The heartfelt and persistent prayer. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. Listen to what it is. That kind of prayer, it's dynamic and it can have tremendous power. Isn't that great? Listen to this quote right here by Dutch Sheets. I love this quote. Love it, love it, love it. Dutch Sheets, who in the world is Dutch Sheets? Well, he's written some incredible books on prayer. I'll tell you that. If you're interested on trying to figure out how to have a better prayer life, Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheets is powerful. Yep, write that down. Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheets. But he says this in that book. He said, I have become convinced that in some situations, our prayers actually release cumulative amounts of God's power. Did you hear that? Until enough has been released to accomplish his will. I'm going to read that again. That's a steak bite, isn't it? I've become convinced that in some situations, our prayers actually release cumulative amounts of God's power until enough has been released to accomplish his will. So what happens if you pray and stop praying about something that he wasn't done releasing power on? Well, Pastor Talia, I prayed for 3 weeks about that, and it just didn't get fixed. It just didn't get better. I fasted, and I prayed with the church, and it's not any better. What did that scripture say? Ask, and don't stop asking. You don't have it because you're not asking. And then what did Dutch Sheet says? Sometimes the answer hasn't come because you need to pray more, because every time you pray, and I'm telling you, I've been in ministry for over 20 years, and I still don't understand this about God. I'm not going to stand here and say, I understand how God and why God wants to pray through imperfect people to accomplish his will or to work through our prayers. I don't get that. Like, he's God. Come wave some wand or something. Maybe wave his hand. Just make it happen. But he doesn't work like that. He chooses to use his children as conduit. We are the conduit through which God's power can flow. And as we pray, it somehow releases the power and provision and purposes of God. You don't believe me? Read the Bible. As people prayed, things happened. Here's my question to you tonight. What is not happening like you want it to happen because you're not praying? Did you hear me? Let's just do some self-evaluation for just a moment. Guess what? Here's the cool thing about the evaluation. I don't know how much you pray or when you pray. Only you and the Lord know that. No shame here. All of us are works in progress. But what are you needing God to do that if you prayed would change? What are you not praying about that you should be? What have you given up on? What have you stopped believing God for? that he just wasn't finished yet. And now you've stopped praying and you're not really seeing the activity there anymore. Can I challenge you guys to pray? Paul says, I pray without ceasing. We don't give up. How many things have gone, how many victories have gone unclaimed because God's people didn't pray? Because God's people failed to pray. I want us to look at this key scripture tonight. It's in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. Paul says to this new minister, this young pup, Timothy, he says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for who? Some people? The people you like that sit at your table? No, all people. For who? For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. Say good. Say this is good. Yeah, this is good. And it does what? Pleases God our Savior. How many of us want to please the Lord? Who wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to do some group work at your tables. The music's going to come up and we're going to get into this. I want you to look up and read 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4 again in your Bibles. And I want you to answer the following questions at your table. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go.
All right. Well, I hope everybody had enough time to get through most of that. I know we probably didn't give you near enough time to really dig into this, but we wanted to allow you to look at a prayer and try to determine what's being asked for and what type of prayer and start to dig into that. So did anything stick out to anybody in that group work? Nothing. Oh, so I'm going to ask another question. So I get the mic and immediately everybody goes dead. Like, nobody wants to answer questions. Talia's up here, and y'all are all like, just raising your hand. Is it because she's a senior pastor? It's probably, all right. No, so let's go to number one. What's this passage of Scripture asking? Is it a question? All right, see, good. I got some feedback. That's a good start. Thank you, yes. Thank you. Is it the tattoos? Am I intimidating? I'm a big baby. No, yes. You better answer my questions. meet you in the parking lot. No. So what else stuck out to somebody? I know somebody read this and something jumped out to them. I know something did.
I just have one comment about that. Yes, ma'am. We were kind of going back to the suggestion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, and that's a great point because, see, our frame of mind does dictate how we interpret Scripture. Is that correct? Man, that's a powerful observation because the way we read Scripture and the way we interpret Scripture is definitely dictated by our frame of mind. If we come with a more worldly frame of mind and it's just suggestions, yeah, that can skew our thought process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's correct. Correct. Yeah. 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 Well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the point right there that I was about to make. So, and we can't stray too far off of this because we can get into some really deep stuff and we can get into free will and we can start talking about a lot of things that we have control over. But if we are able to make our own decisions, then yes, God can lead and he can guide and he can urge all day long, but we have to actively decide to follow that urging. But the great thing about God, and you hit the point that I wanted to make, when he gives us a suggestion or even a command, and there's a lot of commands in the Bible, so those are non-negotiables in my opinion. He gives us a command, but then he gives us a promise, right? And so that's what you have to look at. So for me, if I'm reading something like that and I get this promise from God, he's going to do what he says he's going to do if I hold my end of the bargain up, why would it be black and white? Right? There shouldn't be a gray area in that. He says he's going to do something for me if he urges me to do it. So I should be able to trust him and be led by him enough to follow that. Correct? I'm gonna answer your question, then we're going to get into.
Well, that's why important. Probably because he gives these illustrations an angle in which we can get from God the direction we need to go.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Those are all good questions. Yeah. Well, and that's it. And yeah, and that's the promise. It's like, and who says that? Like, you know what? Peaceful, quiet life. Nah, I'm good. I'm good on that. No. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I want more chaos. I want more noise in my life. I want more drama. No, but... Nobody says that, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Correct. That's correct. That's very good. Our first group work in the bag. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we're going to have a ton more of this, and I look forward to more conversations. Y'all are already off to an awesome start. And I know Pastor Talia, she was super excited. I'm going to get up here and tell you how super excited I am. We just can't wait for this to kick off. And we know that there is something in store for each and every one of you. There is a next level. And it's like I said in Grow Track 1 before you came here. Yes, we laid a foundation, and we kind of... use some of the tools for you to help you lay that foundation. But we're handing it to you now. You've got the hammer in your hand, and you're going to be hitting those nails. You're going to be driving the nails, so you got to be prepared for that and be ready to do the work. But it sounds like y'all are, so I'm excited for that. So now that we know what prayer is, that we've gone over the purpose of prayer, we want to talk about four types of prayer that you can use in your daily life. The first one is supplication. Supplication is a humble and earnest entreaty or petition. So what is earnestness? That's exactly right. That's the first word here. It's serious in intention, purpose, or effort. Sincerely zealous. An earnest worker showing depth and sincerity of feeling. Earnest words. An earnest entreaty, seriously important, demanding, or receiving serious attention. If I say serious one more time, is it serious? Serious. Supplication is serious. There is an urgency and an earnestness to this type of prayer. Matthew 11 and 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Make no mistake, whether we see it, whether we acknowledge it, there is a battle, there is a war that is raging on around you each and every day. And I'm not here to get too deep into that tonight, but there is a serious nature to this type of prayer. And God wants us to grab a hold of that and understand it, because it is a weapon for us in this life. And I don't know about you, but I want all the weapons that I can get, that I can carry along with me in this life. Because I walked a lot of years without any weapons, and I got beat up. I don't know about you, but I got beat up. So I want any weapon I can get. So we have to be serious about the way we talk to God when we need something, when we truly need something. So there is a war that's going on. So how do we fight? We fight with this type of prayer. And then the Bible says that God, he'll win the battles for us. That's the beautiful part about this. If we just talk to him and we tell him what we need, and he'll win the battles for us. Luke 22:39-44. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." So an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. There's that word. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, I don't want to get too morbid, but has anybody ever cut themselves over water and seen what blood does when it hits water? What does it do? But what do you think is, what do you think weighs more? That's right. It'll hit the water and you'll see that blood sink. Jesus's problem, what Jesus was praying about so earnestly, was so heavy, it weighed so much, it was not drops of sweat, it was blood. It was that thick, it was that dense, it was that heavy. Think about the imagery right there. This is a serious prayer that he was praying to God, but he followed it up with, "Not my will. If this is what you want for me in my life, then I will take it." But he was earnest, he was sincere, and he was serious about this prayer that he sent up to God. But it was heavy on him. So that's the gravity of this type of prayer. It is a heavy type of prayer. It's a prayer that should be thought out. Blood and water. It's a heavy, heavy request. We had a question earlier about these first two types of prayer. So the second type of prayer is prayer. Somebody asked a great question, and it's something that I really wanted to clarify. They said, what's the difference between supplication and prayer? It kind of reads the same. Well, to me, prayer is a daily conversation. Talking to God and having a conversation where both persons talk, and here's the key, and listen, and I have that underlined, to what each other is saying. So, in Exodus 33, a few scriptures before the one that Pastor Talia read earlier, it said that God spoke to Moses face to face as a what? As a friend. He spoke to Moses as a friend. And then let's move to the New Testament. In John 15 and 15, it says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." So that tells me that we are to come, and the scripture says, boldly into his throne room now. We can come to him, and we can speak to him daily as, what, friends. We are not mere agents who don't know the business that we're sent out on. We know the Father's business now. It has been made known to us because we are now friends. We can speak to him face to face. This is daily conversation. When I was growing up, we had an old two-story house. It was paper-thin walls, all that stuff, and we'd be upstairs playing around, and I'd have, my house was kind of like the place where everybody went. I think it's because my mom, like, stocked the Little Debbies in the house, and so, like, everybody just liked me because they could come and eat, like, Nutty Buddies and those, like, Christmas tree things and stuff, but regardless, I had a lot of friends. So, we would be upstairs. In my room, I had the master bedroom because they didn't want to walk upstairs, so I thought I was, like, so cool. I had this huge room. And so we'd all be upstairs playing and wrestling and roughhousing. And they, my parents would always come to the bottom of the stairs and be like, "Jeremiah!" And they would yell at me. And I'm like, "What? Quiet down." I'm like, "Okay, well, okay." And every day, and finally one day I asked them, I said, "Why do you just yell at me? Why are you only yelling at me? I have all these friends up here. They are yelling and screaming and doing the same things. Why do you only yell at me?" My mom looked at me. She said, "Because I know your voice." And later in life, I started thinking about that with God. Does the Heavenly Father know your voice? He knows mine because I talk to him. I speak with him daily. He knows my voice. And I know his voice, even more importantly. I know his voice. When he tells me to do something, very, very, very rarely, and I'm not going to speak in absolutes and say always, very rarely, do I have to ask God, "Is that you?" Because I speak to him. We know each other's voices. That's important. So the third one, I'd almost like to put at number one. Jesus gave a model of prayer, and it said, what? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Well, the third one is thanksgiving or giving of thanks. Well, I think when we come to Jesus, or we come to God and we're speaking and we're praying to him, I think we should start with this. That model of prayer that's given, we should enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. We should come to him, thanking him for the things that he's done. And there's no coincidence why he did this and why he asks us to start out a prayer with thanksgiving and praise. Because we have a tendency to be selfish. It's just the truth. We have a tendency to seek his hand and not so much his face. Am I right? We have a tendency to seek the things that he can give to us, not who he is. And all the things that he is, all those attributes. So thanksgiving or giving of thanks. It's the act of giving thanks, a grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. An expression of love, an expression of thanks. It's a public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. So Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanksgiving to him and praise his name. So this prayer is vitally important, and yet it's overlooked. It's overlooked because, like I said, we have a tendency to be selfish. We want what we want sometimes, and we'll walk right in. And we see it. Any parents in here who have children, like, and I correct my kids so much. They always come to me, and the first thing they says, "Hey, can I have dinner?" Or "Hey, can I have candy?" Or, and it's never, "Hey, Dad, how are you? How's your day?" I never get that. It's, "I'm hungry," you know. And we joke. I also run the Boys and Girls Club too, so I have 400 kids that come to me daily and say the same thing. "Hey, Coach Jeremiah, I want the snack bar to be open now." I'm like, hi, it's good to see you, you know. Welcome, you know, so it's the same thing. But we as adults do the same thing to God. We want God to be a cosmic genie sometimes. What is your wish? We want a drive-through God. You laugh, but it's the truth, right? We want like a number one. Like, I want a number one with like a side of prosperity. And like, we don't ever go to God and we're like, you know, "Hey, God, thank you for all those things you did. Remember that time when I was like really messed up and you brought me out of that?" We don't do that. We forget those things that he did, and we never enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. We just ask for something again. So we ourselves can be like the little children in that way. So we need to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. I start every prayer with, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You've been so good to me, God. And if I don't get another thing from you, if I don't get one more thing from you in this life, you've done more than I could ever expect. Thank you." Thanking God gets our eyes off of what he has not done or what has not happened or is not working and puts it on his goodness and his faithfulness. And I have a tendency to lose sight of that, once again, because I'm selfish. I can lose sight of all the things that he's brought me out of, all the things that he's given me, all the things that he's done for me, because I want something now. What have you done for me lately? We have to get our eyes on his goodness and his faithfulness, because then we don't become jaded in this walk. And like Pastor Talia said earlier, we can get stale in our prayer, and we can get stale in our walk with God, but it's because we lose sight, and we've lost sight of the things that he's done for us, and we don't remember those things, and we're just waiting for that next blessing. But we can't live our lives like that, so we need to enter his courts with praise. It's the vital component. I'll put that at number one. The last one is intercession. Intercession is such an important type of prayer. For me, it's so important because it helps us to fulfill one of the greatest commands, or the greatest command that God's given us, to love him and to love others. So once we get past this handout asking God for something, immediately talking to him and telling him what we need and what we want, and we get over into the realm of thinking about other people greater than ourselves, thinking about what we can do for somebody else, thinking about the needs of others, that's a special place in prayer. I am standing here today with a mic in my hand because of intercession. Have no doubt. And I know because I've had people come to me many years later, didn't even know them, old relatives, "I was praying for you." Oh, okay, well, thank you, because I needed it. But I didn't know that. And they never told me either. It wasn't some selfish thing like, "Well, I'm praying for you." No, it wasn't. It was behind the scenes. It was in their closet. It was wherever they pray. They were praying for me because they knew I needed it. And we should all be thinking about somebody that we can pray for. Intercession is so powerful. And interposing or pleading on behalf of another person, a prayer to God on behalf of another. Isaiah 59 and 16 says, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. I don't want to hear that. And I hope you don't either. I don't want to hear that from God. Ezekiel 22 and 30. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I'd not have to destroy it. But I found no one. We cannot be a people who forget others and the needs of others. We cannot be someone who will not stand in the gap for somebody else. We do not want to be the type of people that God looks around and just can't see the person that's praying for someone else. We have to keep in mind and we have to think about the needs of others. And we have to place them first a lot of times. Intercession intercepts the plans of the enemy. And I'm going to say that again because that's very powerful. I talked about it earlier. There is a very real war that is raging on around us. There is a very real war. But intercession, a pleading or standing in the gap on behalf of someone else, will intercept the plans of the enemy. That's important. That's strategic. God put that in place for a reason. God is a God of strategy. That is strategic. Romans 8 and 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We must feel that way. We must cry out for that. Andrew Murray said, God's giving is inseparably connected with our asking. Inseparably connected with our asking. Only by intercession prayer can that power be brought down from heaven, which will enable the church to conquer the world. So how important is this type of prayer? Yes. It will enable the church to conquer the world. Guys, this is so important. We have to get this. It's a quote by Andrew Murray. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to ask Pastor Talia to come up here. She has a story that she wants to share about intercessory prayer.
Such good stuff, and I hope that you see the variety here. I hope you see, Jeremiah did a very good job on that. The supplication is that, we get that a lot at the church on staff. We get a lot of people who will email or text and say, hey, so-and-so just had a car accident, or this and such just found out they had cancer, or whatever it is. And supplication, I love how you presented that urgent, just fall to your knees in a moment and cry out to God. It's not coerced. It's not thought through. It's just, help me, Jesus. Anyone had those moments? That's supplication. It's so powerful. I love the conversation with God through prayer that he said. The thanksgiving, and yeah, we probably need to move that to number one, but thanksgiving and giving God thanks. There have been some of my most powerful moments of prayer were in my darkest times when I had to force myself to say out loud what I was thankful for. And I'm telling you guys, in those moments of such darkness emotionally for me, when I forced myself to begin saying to God what I was thankful for, it was like the dark clouds started to part, if even for a moment at the time. There's such power and thanksgiving. But what I wanted to share real quick was just intercession, like you, is very important to me too. When I first got saved at camp, I felt like the Lord spoke to me the first time I'd ever heard like the voice of the Lord in my heart, not audibly. And I felt that he said, I'm going to save your father. I'm going to save your dad. And I knew in that moment he was calling me to intercede for him. His name was Joe. And you guys have maybe heard me preach on some of that a little bit in church. But what you might not know is that what I didn't know was in 1995 when I got saved, I did not know that my dad wasn't going to be saved right away. I thought that I just needed to pray for him, and that surely because I felt the desire so strong for him to be saved, that surely God was already going to do it very quickly. And so with intercession, what you need to understand is what Jeremiah just beautifully said is the power of it, the power of intercession, this power and this authority. Everyone say authority. The authority. Satan has done a phenomenal job. I don't like giving him props, but he's done a phenomenal job of making the church forget their authority, the authority that we have over him, over our children, over our marriage, over other people, the authority we have in this earth. And I began to pray and fast for my dad, and I'd love for you guys to hear that everything got better, but really things got so much worse for him. It was like the prayer and the fasting, the intercession, uncovered the rug of all the stuff that was really going on in his heart. And things got so bad, but I kept clinging to the promise that God said, I'm going to save your dad. Your job is to pray. And someone in here needs to hear that. God has told you of something he wants to do in someone else's life, maybe even yours. And he's calling you to not just pray a little bit about it. Intercession goes deeper than that. Intercession enters into this whole other realm of prayer. It's this literally standing. When you stand in the gap, it's like you're in between what God's trying to do and what Satan's trying to do. And your powers are doing what we call spiritual warfare. It's warfare in an unseen realm. Yeah, I'm going there. You're grow too. You got to handle it. Okay, so that's just the way that works. And over the years, things would get better and worse, and you guys all know that eventually he was killed. He was killed by a car 3 weeks before my wedding, and I was so mad at God, so mad, because I never saw him get saved. So mad at God, just so absolutely just bewildered as to why I did all that God told me to do and he didn't get saved. About 8 weeks after his funeral, someone came up to me. It was a friend of my brother's who lived with my dad. He said, Talia, isn't that so neat? Isn't it so amazing what God did for your dad? I said, what? He said, did you not know? And I said, what are you talking about, Simon? He said, your dad got his heart right with the Lord. I said, you guys understand. Like, I said, what are you talking about? He said, I went up to see Jacob one day at the house, my brother. And he said, there was this loud music on in the house. And so I banged on the door. And he said, but no one answered. So I decided to go in. So he went in, and the music was worship music. And my father was on the floor on his knees with his hands lifted up, crying and worshiping. And God let Simon see that. And God let Simon see me. At least 8 weeks after the funeral, to be able to tell me that my dad did get saved. So every battle with hell I fought in prayer was worth it, because my father is in heaven with my heavenly father. And I'm telling you, intercession is hard, supplication, prayer isn't always fun, but I'm telling you, that scripture in James 5:19b, the fervent, passionate prayers of the righteous man, they're powerful. They're effective. And we pray that if nothing else tonight, that this stirs up in you an awareness for some of you, but a passion, a desire to start tapping deeper into prayer. You don't know what you don't know. God has so much he wants to do through you and in you, but it's going to take you going into deeper dimensions of different kinds of prayer. All right, he's going to go over your homework assignment. We want you guys to practice this week, and I'm going to let you close that out.
All right, and I'm going to cap it off with another quote here by Dr. Gregory Board. I struggled with prayer early on because I always had the frame of thought, well, why does God really need me to pray, right? Like, he's all powerful. He can do anything. Why does he really need me? And I came across this quote, and it's so beautiful. It's not that God needs our petitions to be informed or empowered to do anything. He's God. But because a loving relationship with him is his highest agenda for us, he constructs the order of things such that a loving relationship with him will be facilitated. And thus, he ordains that some things will only be done through prayer. So let me dumb that down for myself, because I had to rewrite it in my own terms, because that's really eloquent. Because God's ultimate desire is a relationship, and because prayer is the means he created in order for that to exist, he may determine that some things will only come to pass through prayer. And through your prayers. And it's because the most fundamental and base thing that God wants us to understand is that relationship is everything. It's everything. He needs your prayer. He wants your prayers. He wants your relationship is what I should say. I'm going to have Megan. She's going to close this out because she is the homework master. And I am not. I didn't do homework. I made somebody else do it for me, like my wife.
We literally just got onto our son for making someone else do his homework. So now we know where he gets it.
We'll have that conversation.
All right, you guys, your homework is actually in the very, very back of your book. If you look on, I'm not sure what page it is on your book. It tells you the appendix, but the appendix, all of them are in the back of your book. So in your book, number one, your homework is on page 59, and you're just going to practice the types of prayers we talked about. And if you're like me, it's very hard to sit quietly and listen. When you have four children and a husband and you work full time, anytime I get quiet, my brain starts going to like, oh, I have all these million things to do. But it's just like a muscle. Your prayer life is a muscle. And the more you practice it, the more you work it out, the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets, the more you'll be able to recognize God's voice, as Jeremiah was saying. And then number two is, I think you guys did this in Grow One, but you also have a Bible reading plan. It is on the very last page of your book. And it tells you what you're expected to read for this week. So we'll kind of go over all that next week when we meet again. Good. Don't forget to bring your Bibles next week. Next week's a very important week on having your Bible here. We'll be flipping and writing tremendously next week. Good? I'm going to pray over you guys, and then we'll be dismissed, okay? Jesus, I just thank you for this class. I thank you for their hunger. God, I pray that you continue to stir them this week, Lord. Whatever area they may be struggling in their prayer life, God, I pray that you meet them where they're at, that they would feel your presence, God, if they haven't been feeling it, Lord. God, I pray that an urgency would just stir in their hearts, God, to seek you more and more, God. I pray that we would be the type of people that run to you first before we run to anyone else. God, that we would seek you first in prayer before we sought out anyone else's advice or anyone else's help, God. I pray peace over them. I pray your joy would be with them all week, Lord. We thank you so much for the students in this room, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you guys.